This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And then you say Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. The most compassionate, the most merciful. The question is, why do these two characteristics come after Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen? The answer could be because now that you have recited all praises to Allah, who is the Lord of the world, you are thinking to yourself, what is the nature of this rububiyyah, this lordship? He has just told us that He is Lord over everything. So you ask yourself the necessary question, what is the nature of this Lord above me, who controls me, possesses me, maintains me, nurtures me? What is the nature of this Lord? Is it a lordship of vengeance? Is it a lordship of punishment? Is it a lordship of wrath? So the Quran instantly answers this question that is hovering in your mind. And it says to you, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Who is he? Ar-Rahman, the most compassionate. Ar-Rahim, the most merciful. So Allah Jalla Jalaluhu introduces himself in the book of Allah with these two majestic traits, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. And these two names are derived from the trait of Rahma, mercy. Rahman and Rahim, they're both derived from the word Rahma, mercy. So what does it mean that Allah Almighty is Rahman and Rahim? Before we speak about the differences between these two names, because they're very similar, and that's why you find in the translations it's not clear. The entirely merciful, the especially merciful, the gracious, the compassionate, the merciful. In some translations, the merciful, the merciful. But there's a difference. We'll speak about that in a moment. But first of all, let's understand that these two names of Allah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, they're about Rahmah, mercy. And you and I know what Rahmah is in a human sense. Ar-Riqqatu wa Ta'atuf, as Ibn Manzur, the linguist, he says. Rahmah, in a human capacity, is a sense of frailty, weakness, compassion that comes into the heart of a person for another. You know, when you see someone who is broke, someone who is hurt, someone who is in poverty or hungry, you say, my heart just broke to pieces, so I felt compelled to give him or her something. So it's a form of weakness, not in a negative way, but there is a weak element to it when speaking about mercy from a human perspective. It has a weak connotation to it. Let us put it like that. So this can't be the definition of Allah's mercy. It's got to be different. We have rahmah, and Allah is the most merciful, but it must be a different type of mercy to befit His majesty and glory. We can't say vulnerability, we can't say weakness, we can't say frailty. We can't say feeling sorry. These are for you and I, it's not for Allah. So how do we understand the rahmah of Allah? Ibn al-Qayyim, he says this, subhanallah. He says, ar-rahmah, Allah's mercy, is a trait, a sifah. تَقْتَضِي إِيصَالِ الْمَنَافِعِ وَالْمَصَالِحِ إِلَى الْعَبْدِ وَإِنْ كَرِهَتْهَا نَفْسُهُ وَشَقَّتْ عَلَيْهَا. He said the rahmah of Allah is an attribute that entails that He will give His creation, He will give His servants what is beneficial for them, even though they may hate it. This is the rahmah of Allah. When at times He will impose upon you an event, a circumstance, that you may have falsely and ignorantly and myself interpreted as a cruel twist in fate. And you say, how come? Why me? I didn't deserve that. Because we are defined by haste, ignorance, and short-sightedness. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجَلٍ. Man was created in haste. So the rahmah of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu is when He, in His might and His wisdom, puts upon you a circumstance that is beneficial for you, even though it may cause you short-term hardship or pain. And that is why Allah said, وَيُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسَهُ. Allah warns you of Himself. وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. And Allah is pitying towards His slaves. As if to say, I am warning you of Myself because I have mercy for you. So this is the mercy of Allah. And that's why in the story of Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Al-Khadr, when they were traveling, Prophet Musa sees Al-Khadr now killing a young boy who was playing with his friends in a grueling way, without going into detail, as Surah Al-Kahf documents. He says to him, how could you? This is an innocent child who has committed no wrong. How did you? Why? And Al-Khadr, he tells him in the end that this young boy was going to grow up to be a disbeliever. Allah had told Al-Khadr that this young boy was going to grow up to be a defiant disbeliever in Allah, who would impose his disbelief upon his parents. So he said, فَأَرَادَ رَبُّكَ أَن يُبْدِلَهُمَا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُ زَكَاةً وَأَقْرَبَ رُحْمًا. So Allah intended to replace his parents with a better child who will be purer than him and who will be nearer to his parents with respect to mercy. Subhanallah. So the killing of the child was, in the long run, what? Rahmah of Allah. Listen to the definition of Ibn al-Qayyim. He said, the mercy of Allah is a trait that entails that he will give his slaves what is beneficial for them, even though their souls may detest it. This is the rahmah. It's not like our rahmah. We call it rahmah, but it's not really rahmah at times. So when you see, for example, your 17-year-old son or daughter sleeping at night, time for Fajr comes in, and you know they've got school the next day, you say, Malish, say to your wife, Malish, let them sleep. Let them sleep. They've got a long day ahead of them, and they missed their salah. Feel sorry for them. Have some rahmah, you say to your wife. Got a long day ahead of them. Is this mercy? This is an accountable human being. That's an adult. Salah. Rahmah is in waking them up. Rahmah is in doing wudu, even if it's with cold water. Rahmah is bowing on prostrating, even if it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Rahmah is to pray and save yourself from Jahannam. This is rahmah. Not say, have mercy on the child, let them sleep, they've got a long day at school. No, the rahmah of Allah is Subhanallah wa lillahi al-mathalu al-a'la. To Allah belongs the perfect example. It's a rahmah that gives you what is beneficial, even though your soul may detest it. So you say Alhamdu lillah, all praises to Allah, Rabb, the Lord of al-alameen, everything, the worlds. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, we've understood the idea of rahmah mercy. The question here is the difference between ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, he says that there is a difference between the two. He says, rarely will you find this benefit in any other book. So, yeah, so he, rahimahullah, thinks highly of this point that he's about to share with us. Essentially, he says that Ar-Rahman, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most merciful, let us translate it, and Ar-Rahim, let's also say the most merciful, just for now. He said, Ar-Rahman is adjectival. So an adjective. Whereas Ar-Rahim is verbal. So the first is a description of who Allah is, whereas Ar-Rahim is a description of what Allah does. Yeah? This really solves a lot of problems if you understand it. And that's why Ibn al-Qayyim, he says, look at how Allah uses the word Rahman and Rahim in the Quran and Sunnah. Rahman, it's usually when describing Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, what He is. And Rahim is when it's connected to us, the recipients of mercy. So he says, وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. He was to the believers Rahim. Since he's speaking about you and I, the subject of mercy, he says he is Rahim, because it's a description of what Allah does. But when Allah Almighty speaks about Himself, He says Ar-Rahman. So you never read in the Quran or the Sunnah that Allah is Rahman to people. Rarely will you come across this. He is the Rahman of so-and-so. No, that's a description of who He is. Whereas Ar-Rahim is a description of what Allah Almighty does. One is adjectival and the latter is verbal. So it's an amazing fa'idah benefit that you can remember, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Then you say what? Maliki Yawm al-Din. Owner of the Day of Judgment. Question for you, brothers, sisters. I want you to think about this for a moment. Why is it that Maliki Yawm al-Din comes after Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? Question. Why is it that Maliki Yawm al-Din, owner of the Day of Judgment, comes second place to Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the most compassionate, the most merciful? Why wasn't it the other way around? So you say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Maliki Yawm al-Din, Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Astaghfirullah, we ask Allah to forgive us if I've committed a sin by. But I'm trying to teach something here. Why wasn't it arranged the other way around? One of the wisdoms, this was mentioned by Al-Ghirnati in his tafsir, Milak al-Ta'wil and others, that Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, the most compassionate, the most merciful, was positioned before Maliki Yawm al-Din, owner of the Day of Judgment, is because when you say owner of the Day of Judgment, it strikes fear in the heart of the believer. Therefore, to put at rest your heart as a Muslim who is praying to Allah, and you are reciting Al-Fatiha to glorify Him, Allah reminds you that the owner and the master of this mighty and horrifying day, He also happens to be Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. And His rahmah is mentioned first so as to set the scene and to put your heart at ease. And subhanAllah, I'll give you an example, an analogy to make this clear and to exemplify what is being demonstrated in the Quran. Imagine you are standing in court and you don't know whether you've been found guilty or you've been acquitted of the charges. And then the judge says to you, why did we find evidences of yourself on the scene? Why did we see you there on CCTV? Why did you leave your bag there? Why did we discover your fingerprints? How come? But we'd like to tell you that all of the charges have been dropped and you've been found innocent. So alhamdulillah, it's a good outcome, but your heart dropped many times before the verdict was finally given. It was fear and uncertainty and doubt, and then there was the reassurance. Imagine if we flip the scenario where the judge says to you, Ya Muhammad, Ya Ali, oh so and so, look, you're not guilty. All of the charges have been dropped. You've been acquitted. You've been found innocent. But why would you put yourself in this vulnerable situation? Why put yourself in a position of doubt? Why were you mixing with these people? Why did we have to see you on site? And so on. You don't really care too much. You're not too worried about what he then says, because the judge has already told you that you have no fear. There's nothing for you to worry about. Similarly, to some extent, the same can be said here. You recite Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, so you breathe out some air. You say, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah that He is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. And then He tells you, Maliki Yawm al-Din. He's also the owner of the Day of Judgment. The perfect balance between fear and hope, hope and fear, and hope comes before fear in this context. This is found in the Quran, by the way, in another ayah. Does anybody know which ayah it is that follows a similar format of reassurance and then the reproach? Al-Ghirnati, he says that this is similar to where Allah Almighty said to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, عَفَ اللَّهُ عَنْكَ لِمَ أَذِنْتَ لَهُمْ. Allah has pardoned you, but why did you give them permission to stay behind? So he says, Allah Almighty spoke about the pardon to begin with. O Prophet Muhammad, we have pardoned you. But then the gentle reproach comes, but why did you give them permission to stay behind? If it was the other way, his heart would have broken in fear. Why did you give them permission to stay behind? But don't worry, we have pardoned you. No. Al-Ghirnati says, لِكَيْ لَا يَنْصَرِعَ قَلْبَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمُ. This is to protect the heart of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم from breaking. So Allah says to him, Allah has pardoned you. But why did you give them permission to stay behind? Similarly, Allah says, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Rahma Masi, Maliki Yawm al-Din, owner of the Day of Judgment. Maliki Yawm al-Din. Question. Owner of the Day of Judgment. Is Allah Jalla Jalaluhu not the owner of everything? Have we not established in Al-Fatiha that He is Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of everything? Why now are we singling out the Day of Judgment in ownership? Rabbul Alameen, Maliki Yawm al-Din. How come? Is the question clear? Omar Wadih al-Su'al, clear? Malik, clear? What's the reason? What's the question? Why have we been told that He is Maliki Yawm al-Din, owner of the Day of Judgment specifically, whilst we know that He is the owner of everything? What's the significance of the ikhtisas? The importance of signifying, to signify the importance of the Day of Judgment, okay. Yeah, good. Yeah, anything else? Any other thoughts? Ishmael, anything? Brothers, you have a chance to redeem yourselves. What do you think? Arubel, you have something to say? Something similar. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. The might and the possession, the dominion and sovereignty of Allah will be exactly exemplified on the Day of Judgment like no other day. Or we may reword it and say the following, which is, since in the life of this world there have been some deluded individuals who call themselves kings and other names, princes, businessmen, whatever it may be, who were given semblances of authority, who in their delusion thought that they were competitors with Allah in kingdom. Since the likes of these people existed in the life of this world, like Fir'aun, who said, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْعَلَىٰ, I am your Lord, the Most High, astaghfirullah. Fir'aun, who said, مَا عَلِمْتُ لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرِ, I don't know of a God that you have besides me. Fir'aun, who said, أَلَيْسَ لِي مُلْكُ مِصْرِ, are the kingdoms of Egypt not for me? وَهَذِهِ الْأَنْهَارُ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِي, and these rivers flow beneath my feet. And Nimrud ibn Kan'an, who said, أَنَا أُحْيِي وَأُمِيت, I give life and death. So, the same way, because there were some deluded individuals who in the life of this world were given semblances of authority, and therefore they believed in their misguidance that they were somehow rivals or competitors with Allah Almighty in kingdom and ownership, Allah Almighty singles out the Day of Judgment by saying, I am the owner of that day, because that day no kingdom will be, even in the minute form it exists today, no kingdom will exist, it will all be to Allah, all for Allah, all from Allah. وَالْمُلْكُ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلَّهِ, kingdom on that day will be for Allah. On the Day of Judgment, you and I will not even have our clothes to wear. We ask Allah to make us amongst the earliest who will be clothed on the Day of Resurrection. People will not even have their clothes, let alone to think about kingdom, titles, cars, and homes, authority. So he says, Maliki Yawm al-Din, he is the owner of the Day of Judgment. Nobody will have any semblance of authority or reign or kingship on that day. And when you look into the descriptions of Yawm al-Qiyamah, you see just that. And that's why Allah says, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا يَوْمُ الدِّينِ, what will make you know what the Day of Judgment is? ثُمَّ مَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا يَوْمُ الدِّينِ, then what will make you know what the Day of Judgment is? Listen, يَوْمَ لَا تَمْلِكُ نَفْسٌ لِنَفْسٍ شَيْئًا, it's the day where no soul will possess anything for another soul. وَالْأَمْرُ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلَّهِ, and the matter on that day will be entirely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is it clear why Allah says, مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ, owner of the Day of Judgment? الْمُلْكُ يَوْمَئِذٍ الْحَقُّ لِلرَّحْمَنِ, Allah said, kingdom on that day will rightly belong to Allah ar-Rahman. So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm al-Din. And then you say, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. I think we can pause here, inshaAllah ta'ala, and try to continue next week, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, on our journey through Surah Al-Fatiha, where we will focus a lot on Ihdina al-Sirat al-Mustaqim.